A child thinks the world that he lives in is just as it should be. The adolescent knows better. A child at primary school can be bored or miserable, but he doesn't question the conditions of life as he knows it. It's when he becomes a teenager that he discovers a new form of unhappiness, dissatisfaction. And as an adult, he experiences it more. There are many this Valentine's Day who feel there must be more to love than this. Of course, many have very rich relationships of love, which today they've specially remembered, to judge by the personal columns in some of the Sunday papers. And they've been grateful for afresh. Well, actually, if you read through those personal columns, some of the relationships seem most peculiar. But there are probably just as many today looking back over a marriage which hasn't lived up to expectations, where the partners have found a way of living together without joy. And others are involved perhaps in an engagement which just recently has turned a little sour. And others too find themselves with a relationship which probably should have been given up gently months ago, but somehow has dragged on. And many, many today have had no card, have no special relationship, and look back over past boyfriends or girlfriends with memories partly happy, partly sad. And all these think, surely that can't be all there is to love. There are plenty in London today who feel there must be more to life than this. Every day much the same. Wake up in the morning, grab a bite to eat, then rush off to work, to a job that is so very rarely fulfilling, which you would leave if there were half a chance of a better opportunity opening up, but there isn't, and which you daren't leave for fear of joining the queue of 3 million already unemployed. Then back in the evening for a few free hours, and all the time looking forward to the weekend, so that about this time on a Sunday, you get that sinking feeling that in a few hours it'll be Monday again. And the only question which breaks up the routine is, which trains, if any, will be running this morning? Surely life could and should be better than this. And there are many, many in Britain today who are saying there must be more to faith than this. People who wouldn't call themselves particularly religious are feeling this, who are turned right off by the established church, who've got no time for institutionalized religion, but who are seeing that their easy teenage rejection of the Christian faith was terribly naive, and that there's probably a great deal more to Jesus Christ than they have realized up till now. Maybe they've met a few people recently, like Jaswant, for whom the Christian faith is obviously a reality, who are manifestly sincere, and that has made them begin to think again. Does that in any way describe you? You would have called yourself an agnostic, perhaps even an atheist. Probably you still are. But this much has changed. You're no longer writing the Christian faith off as not worth a thought. You're prepared to admit that there may be more to it than that. And then there are the people in Britain today who are religious, and yet are asking the same sort of questions. They go to church more often than just Easter and Christmas, perhaps quite regularly. They say their own prayers. They're the kind of people who, if there's an article in Time magazine on religion, they'll read it. Who'll watch a documentary on TV about some religious group. Who are always interested in a good discussion on religion. And yet, all the time, have a sense of incompleteness about their own faith. And I'm sure that goes for many here. Religion, the church, praying certainly play a part in your life. But all the time inside there's that niggling uncertainty. Surely there must be more to faith than this. That was exactly how one man felt in the Gospels. Nicodemus was his name. And you might like to follow his story on page 89 of the second sections of the Bibles in front of you. Page 89, St. John's Gospel, chapter 3. He was an influential man, a ruler of the Jews. And it was probably because he didn't want other Jewish leaders to know he had an interest in Jesus that he came by night, just as many people today are very reluctant to admit to their friends that they're seriously thinking about the Christian faith. And sadly, and quite unnecessarily, some never become committed Christians, just for fear of what their friends may say. Nicodemus is very polite. He calls Jesus Rabbi. He says it's obvious that Jesus is a teacher come from God. He acknowledges the miracles Jesus has done. And yet behind all this, there's obviously a searching, a longing for something more in religion, in God, than he's experienced so far. And Jesus gives him his answer. What you need, says Jesus, is a new birth. Look at that in verse 3. Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Or more simply in verse 7, "You must be born anew." Now, sadly, this idea of the new birth has been getting rather a bad press. Jimmy Carter claimed to be born again. And look what a mess he made of the presidency. Several rock stars, most famously, obviously, Bob Dylan, have said their whole life has been transformed since they've been born again. They're mentioned from time to time of a born-again movement in the States. But in a sense, our reactions to all this, whether you feel it's rather sinister or you're just a Dylan fan, are an irrelevance. Clearly, this was an important idea for Jesus. He says, you must be born anew. And therefore, inevitably, if we want to come to terms with the Christian faith, we must know what he meant by it. So what, according to Jesus, is the new birth? First, it is a radical change. Jesus doesn't say to Nicodemus, look, you'll grow into this. Don't worry about your feeling distant from God. We're all maturing. It'll be a case of gradual development. No, he deliberately chooses an image which speaks of complete and sudden change. You must be born anew. And he elaborates on this in verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. In other words, you, Nicodemus, have gone through physical birth. You came out of your mother's womb, and your whole existence then underwent a radical change. You started life as a new independent being. And you need just the same complete change in the spiritual realm. You need spiritual life to come into you. You need a new spiritual birth. Perhaps I can explain what this means by telling you my own story. In my mid-teens, I was quite religious. I went to church most Sundays. I said my prayers. I was certainly interested in God. And then a friend of mine, a few years older, discovered God, came into a Christian commitment that was obviously real and deeply satisfying. I wanted to know this in my own life, but I didn't know how it would come about. Perhaps it would be a gradual process, I thought, a slow development from the understanding I had at present. Or perhaps there would be a sort of click in my experience, a slight, though real, alteration. But the one thing that never crossed my mind was what Jesus is saying here. Spiritually, I needed to begin life in just as decisive a way as some years earlier I had begun my physical life. I needed a new birth. Will you take that to heart? You're pretty certain that there's a lot more to the Christian faith than you've yet experienced. In fact, some here have only recently come to terms with the idea that there's anything in Christianity at all. Don't imagine you will somehow drift into the Christian faith, that it's all a matter of a very gradual process which you will hardly notice, because Jesus says it's not like that. You may take time beforehand thinking it through, but in the end there has to come a radical change, the new birth. Second, Jesus says it is for everyone. He puts it here in the most general terms. Look again at verse 3. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one, that is anyone, is born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God. There isn't a man, woman, or child in this church tonight who will ever see the kingdom of God unless first they experience the new birth. And Jesus makes the same point in verse 7. He says, you, and in the original he says, you plural, not just Nicodemus, all of you must be born anew. Very obviously, this experience Jesus gives is for the worst person here, or the person who thinks that he's the worst person here. For the person who's just come out of prison. For the person who's had a whole string of promiscuous relationships, so that their emotional and sexual life is just one ugly mess. For the person who's got deep into one type of homosexual subculture where it's simply become a whole succession of one-night stands. For the person whose whole business life or family life is built on a big lie. To you, Jesus says very directly, you must be born anew. And so he does also to the people who might consider themselves at the other end of the spectrum. Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews, someone that is on the supreme religious council. Jesus calls him a teacher of Israel, but he still needed to be born anew. The chaplain general to the forces was preaching on this passage in a large cathedral. To make this point more forcefully, he pointed to the archdeacon, a high-up clergyman, and he said, you might even be an archdeacon like my friend in the stall and still not be born again. A day or so later, the preacher received a letter from the archdeacon. You found me out. I've been a clergyman, he said, for over 30 years, but I've never known the joy that Christians speak of. I never could understand it. But when you said you might even be an archdeacon and not be born again, I realized in a moment what the trouble was. I'd never known anything of the new birth. And if tonight you're religious, or an ordinand, or even a clergyman, and you couldn't really stand up and say, I know God, then Jesus says to you, you must be born anew. You may be young here this evening, in your late teens or early 20s. You think there's plenty of time to make up your mind. That's not what Jesus says. He says you must be born anew. And I can only say how grateful I am I came to know Christ well at university, with my whole life still before me. But perhaps you're in middle age, and you look around tonight over the sea of young people, and you think it's all right for them. Change comes easily for the young, but I'm too set in my ways. But you know, Nicodemus was old. He asked, how can a person be born when he's an old man? But Jesus said to him, unless one is born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And if you're no longer young, with less of life still to live, all the more reason for coming to know now, while there's still time on earth to enjoy it and to use it for others, to know now this new spiritual life. It's for everyone. And third, it's essential. Perhaps you're thinking, this is all very well for some. I know one or two people whom this has helped very much. But it's not for me. It's not my brand of Christianity. I prefer a more gradual, less black and white approach. That's how I've been brought up to think. That's my natural reaction. But honestly, Jesus doesn't leave us with that option. In the most solemn possible terms, he said this. Look at it with me, if you will, this last time, verse 3. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God. There is no possibility of our seeing God's kingdom, or verse 5, of our entering God's kingdom, unless we've had the experience of the new birth. And it's quite consistent with this, that Jesus said not, you may, or it's conceivable that you will, or it would be nice if you were, but you must be born anew. I often think of the Christian life as shaped like an egg timer. There are many different ways of coming to Christian commitment. Hundreds of different paths to Christ that are represented here in church tonight. And there are many different ways of developing after Christian commitment. The Christian faith doesn't stamp on our individual personalities. It brings out their full potential. But there is one narrow experience that everyone has to go through. And that is the new birth. It is not an optional extra for you. Not a luxury you can think about as to whether you want it or not. It is quite simply essential. You must be born anew. Someone says, all right, but how? How exactly can I come to know this new birth? And I want to let this gospel itself answer that question. Turn back one page, if you would, to page 87, John chapter 1. And let me read verse 12. To all who received him, that is Christ, to all who received Jesus Christ, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God. What is a human child? It's someone who's been through a physical birth. What is a child of God? Not everyone is a child of God. The New Testament never says that. So what is a child of God? It's someone who's been through a spiritual birth, the new birth. And how to experience this new birth? The verse answers, receive Jesus Christ. The picture is of your life as a house. Jesus belongs inside that house. He should by rights be head of the house. And he waits to be received, to be welcomed in. Suppose you went back to your family's house. Suppose you rang the bell and waited to be let in. And then your people opened the door, saw who it was, and slammed the door right in your face. You say, it could never happen. Yet that is precisely what many of us have done. Jesus Christ has come to our lives. He's knocked. He's wanted to be let in. But though we know he deserves to be inside as master of our lives, we've seen how much is at stake and shut him out. And yet he's patient. Here tonight he comes again and knocks. Tonight I'm sure he's come to many individuals and said, you must be born anew, and you can be born anew. You can become a child of God if you will receive me. Will you? Will you receive Jesus into your life tonight? Someone says, I need time to think. And if this is brand new to you, of course you do need time, or you may need time to think, and perhaps to join a group that will help you think, which we'll tell you about in just a few moments. But for Nicodemus, the time of thinking was over. It was time now for the new birth. And it's time now for many of you here tonight. Someone else says, like Jaswant, I'm not good enough. But Jesus didn't say you must be good to become a child of God. The gospel says all who receive him become children of God. People noticed that while he was on earth, Jesus received tax collectors and sinners. And now he invites sinners to receive him, sinners like us. And finally, someone says, there must be more to it than this. You make it sound so simple, too simple. But it must be simple. If Christianity is true, it's true for everyone, not just for the boffin, but for the simpleton. And the way to find Christ, to know the new birth, must be easy enough and straightforward enough for the person who cannot read or write. So I ask you again, have you experienced the new birth? Have you received Christ? And because at this moment, when I think many people do want to respond but don't exactly know the words or the way to do it, I want to pray in just a few seconds a short prayer. A prayer I'm going to pray in the first person. And if you want somehow to respond and to receive Jesus for yourself, I'll pray it quite slowly so that under your breath, quietly, silently, you can pray with me. Let us pray. Listen first again to the promise of God. Let it sink into your heart and mind. Think about it. And ask yourself whether you're ready to respond. Jesus came to his own home, and his own people received him not, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, He gave power to become children of God. And if you want to make that great invitation your own, you pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus Christ, I don't believe I've ever known this new birth, this becoming a child of God. I know you're outside my life, and you want to come in. I understand that you will come in as friend, but as more than that too, as master of the house. So now, I receive you. I receive you gladly. Come into my life as master and make this life your own. Amen.